Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you here today. Welcome to church. Hope you are excited about Christmas tomorrow. And it's great that we can be here to look at God's Word, the Bible. It's great for us to hear God speak. The Bible is God's Word. It's how He speaks to us so that we can know Him. And it's really exciting that we're here today to hear Him speak about His love for us expressed in Jesus' birth. And so it's great that we can be here, and we hope you have an awesome time this morning. But I wonder, have you ever stayed at an amazing hotel or a resort somewhere? You've been on holidays, maybe it's right next to the beach and you're watching the waves come in, or maybe it's up in the mountains and just this spectacular view, and the first time you saw that view, you were blown away. But by the end of the holidays, end of the week, end of the fortnight, however long, you find yourself, you don't really notice it that much. Have you had that experience? Or maybe it was you heard a piece of music for the first time and it just struck you how beautiful it is. But you hear it so often, it starts to lose its effect and just blend into the background. Or maybe it's just the excitement of having a new car or a new phone or new lounge or dress or TV, whatever it is, but it doesn't take that long and the excitement fades. I think this can be a little bit like Christmas. It can start to get a bit familiar, can't it? We start to lose a bit of the appeal and we forget what makes it such a great celebration in the first place, because we forget to take in the spectacular view of Christmas, because we stop searching for the real meaning of Christmas in the midst of everything. And our passage today from the Bible begins with these wise men from a very long way off searching for Jesus. They've traveled all the way from the east. They've arrived in Jerusalem. They are searching for Jesus. Now, why are they searching for him? Why are they so desperate to meet Jesus? Well, it's not so that they can study him and then boast to their friends that they're more clever. Jesus isn't a hobby to them. Finding this newborn child isn't some kind of puzzle or a riddle that they need to figure out. They desperately, relentlessly search to find Jesus, verse 2 tells us, so that they can worship him. So that they can get down on their knees before this baby and bow down to him and give him the most precious gifts they have. They can acknowledge him as King and Lord and God. Is that what you've come to do today? To worship Jesus? Because I want to suggest that, like these wise men, everybody is looking for something. Everyone is searching for someone to worship. I don't just mean to enjoy or to quite like or be a little bit interested in. No, I mean worship as in be devoted to and committed to, as in to serve and find my direction and my meaning and my purpose is in this thing. I think everyone is looking for something to live for, to give their life direction and identity and significance. In the end, we all worship something or someone. All of us have something that's bigger than our lives, that's greater than us, that gives ourselves and our lives shape and meaning and purpose. Now, a lot of people, that's just money, isn't it? They live for money and for possessions. That's what drives us. That's what gets us up in the morning, getting more money, getting more security, getting more stuff. I read somewhere once that people were created to be loved and things were created to be used, but we keep loving things and using people. We keep getting it the wrong way around. We give all our time and our devotion and energy to things, and yet we use people to get what we want. But for others, they might be obsessed with a political movement or an idea that they worship and they live by. In fact, I think many atheists, many humanists, are just as zealous for their religion and for their prophets as any Christian. But people find meaning and purpose in pleasure or in career or success or achievements or popularity or family or sport, so many things, craving something to give our lives significance. While all the while, like these wise men, we should be searching for Jesus. Desperately seeking after Jesus, so that when we find him, we can fall to our knees, bow down and worship him and serve him and live for him. But why? Why worship Jesus? Why live for him and serve him as master? Why have him in control of our world? Well, it's because of who he is and the wise men know this. See, the first thing they say about Jesus in verse 2 is, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Lord. He was born to sit on a throne. He was born to command and to protect and to guide people and provide for people. Jesus is the King. But notice he's not just any king, because when the wise men go to King Herod in verse 7, they don't bow down, they don't give him gifts, they don't worship him. He's not like any other king. They come and find Jesus and they worship him and give him precious gifts. And it's because he's the King of the Jews. Now, if he's the King of the Jews, why is it so special for these men who've traveled from a long way away and they're not Jews? It's a bit like we might think it's nice that the Danish royal family, Prince Frederick and Princess Mary, they have cute children. That's nice, but we don't go bow down and worship them and live for them, born in another country, other side of the world. What's going on here? Well, it's because the Jews were God's special chosen people. The people of the one and only God. So actually, this is God's King who has arrived. The King that God promised, that God is establishing. And part of his promise is that the King of the Jews will be the King of the world. He will inherit the nations. The King of the Jews is in fact the King of all creation. That's why the star recognizes his birth. And you can see it in the sky, the wise men say, because he's the King of the whole earth. Salvation to everyone. That's why we worship him, because everyone on earth needs him. Now, the second reference to the identity of Jesus here is in verse 4, when they go to Herod and then they ask him about the king, and Herod's like, well, where's the king meant to be born? He inquires of the chief priests, where will the Christ, the Messiah, be born? And they answer, in Bethlehem. Notice Herod has completely missed the whole view put on front in front of him that the Messiah is being born. He's missing that whole spectacular view, thinking, how can I get rid of him so I can keep being king? But Jesus is literally the Messiah. Now, the word means God's chosen one, the one selected by God personally to rescue his people and to reign over them. This little baby born is the Messiah. That's what the star in the sky says. That's what the wise men are acknowledging. He's been promised from long ago. He is the Savior. And our world needs saving, doesn't it? Our world desperately needs a Messiah. We need rescuing. We need setting free because we need forgiveness. And Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the Rescuer, is born. And he comes to save us from death. He comes to save us from sin and from judgment. He comes to save us from lives of ignorance and darkness. He is the Messiah. He's the special one. That's why we should worship him. And thirdly, in this passage, we see that Jesus is called the shepherd of God's people, verse 6. That's the promise that they go to. Bethlehem is where the shepherd of God's people is going to be born. Jesus was born to rule. But he rules unlike any other king. I mean, you've heard the saying, haven't you, that power corrupts people. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. We've all heard of rulers and leaders, haven't we, who are just in it for themselves, who change the rules so they can stay in power for longer, who make it that their family or themselves benefit financially from their decisions. They're just in it for themselves, but not Jesus. He rules not as a tyrant, not as a dictator, but he's a shepherd. That's the kind of king Jesus is. He's a king who cares for his people. He's a king who knows his people by name, and he feeds them and protects them and he leads them to safety. This is the kind of king who lifts up and carries his people when we are too weak to go on ourselves. And the Bible says he's the king, he's the shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. See, that's the kind of ruler we want, isn't it? We want a ruler. We want someone powerful and in control who loves us so much they will do anything for our good and they will sacrifice themselves, even die for us. But this is Jesus, God's King, our Messiah, the shepherd for God's people. This is why he was born. born into our world so that he could die for us to rescue us. This is why we should worship him and serve him and follow him and live for him, because he's our King and our Savior and our Shepherd. And so just briefly finishing up, the only right response to this Christmas, to any Christmas, is to seek Jesus, to find him in his word, the Bible, as he speaks to us. And when you find him, the response should be the same as the wise men. When they find the star has stopped over the place where Jesus is, verse 10, when they saw the star, they are overwhelmed with joy. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. They opened up their treasures. They presented him with gifts, with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They are overwhelmed with joy. They rejoiced with this enormous joy, beyond measure, overflowing with joy and happiness. They couldn't even contain it. They're so happy to find this king. Jesus is that special. Knowing him, finding him, means certain joy, overflowing, measureless, everlasting joy. And they fell to their knees and they worshipped him. Notice they don't go to Jesus and say, "This is what you need to do for us. Show us your special power, baby." They don't go to Jesus and say, "Here's all the things we expect you to do as the king." They go to offer what they can to him. Jesus is the king and chosen by God to rule the world. So falling to your knees, bowing down to him, adoring him and worshiping him is the only right response. Giving to him everything that you have, who you are, your heart, soul, mind and strength is the only right response to the glorious king being born. But we do that. We worship him and bow down to him, not out of fear, not out of doubt, but out of sheer, overwhelming joy and pleasure. The everlasting joy of finding someone who is worth worshiping, someone who is worth living for, someone who is greater than us and worth giving our all to, that is the glorious, spectacular truth of Christmas. Can you see it? Because if you're searching for something to live for, if you're searching for something to give you overwhelming joy and everlasting joy, you need to find Jesus. He's our glorious King. He's our promised Savior. He's our loving Shepherd. The only right response out of sheer joy and pleasure is to fall down and worship him this Christmas. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us Jesus. Thank you for his birth into this world. Thank you that he came to live and he came to die for us as our King and our Savior and our Shepherd. Father, please fill us with overwhelming joy this Christmas. Help us to know Jesus and love Jesus and live for Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to share this message with all those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.